will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. It has been 8,702 days since the Mighty Blues last lofted the Premiership Cup, although I think it's getting a little bit closer. But your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best footy panel show on radio today. Your hosts are myself, John Allen, joined today by Andy Baritone Jones, Craig the Cerebral Assassin Beck, and first-time panellist Yuri Bilsich. Did I say it right?
Yes, you sure did.
About time I got something right around here. Today, as always, guys, we'll look at AFL news, Blues news, and review the remaining AFL round, including tips. Our special guest interview today is a great man, Andrew Walker, who on Wednesday, it was the 8th-year anniversary of his famous mark using Jake Carlisle for a stepladder. So look forward to that one. Nice. We cross live to the hyphen as we always do. David Rees-Jones for the shirt front, reviewing the game last week and the upcoming game today. Who's putting their hand up in the Magoos for the Blues? We'll talk about that and we'll do a bit of a review of last week's VFL game for the Northern Blues. Upcoming WA Blues supporter events we'll be talking about, as well as all other things WA Blues, just for a bit of information for everyone out there. And the much-anticipated weekly whack, which we haven't had for a few weeks, a little bit of time management on my behalf there. We'll sort that out, and I think Andy Jones has something special for us there. And look, basically anything else we can squeeze into the hour. And Andy, we wouldn't be able to bring this show if it wasn't for a little bit of help from our sponsors.
Indeed, John, we thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA. Platinum sponsors Allmark & Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, the Empire Bar, 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
Thanks very much for that, Andy. Now, before I cross over to Craig for the AFL News, Yuri, 23 years old, Carlton
yes.
supporter, mate. We got you in today. You've been doing a bit of work experience around the studio, so we're really, really glad to have you in on the panel. But
thank you. It's an absolute pleasure.
No worries, mate. As we do with all our first-time panellists, just tell us a little bit about why you're a blue bagger, why you became a blue bagger, what it means to you then.
Okay, so firstly, how I became a blue bagger was one of my dad's friends, roughly in September 2008, gave me a Carlton cap. And this was just out of the blue, to be honest. And he said, would you like to join Carlton as a fan? I was thinking about it just for a bit. I was like, the long history that they've had ever since they've been in the club. And it's just one of those ones where you just, you can't really resist from it. And considering that they had a lot of dark times from 2002 onwards with the salary cap scandal, etc., I thought, well, why not stick through thick and thin with them? And I was like, yeah, this opportunity was too good to resist. And I was like, yeah, I'll be a blue bagger for life and I'm not changing clubs for anywhere, anytime soon.
That is fantastic. Good, so you're a bit of a traditionalist and you're a pretty loyal person, and through thick and thin, you've remained a Blue. And, mate, we thank you very much for that. We love all our young Blue supporters here, especially in WA. It's very important to us. Now, Craig, what's been going on in AFL News, mate?
Yes, good morning, listeners. Well, there's still a lot of news surrounding the vacant coaching positions. Speculation continues to mount about Ross Lyon parting ways with the Dockers at the end of the year. But he may not be the only one. Local media celebrity Tim Gossage has reported as saying, and I quote, "My mail was, there was a significant meeting last Friday. Lots of fairly heavy hitters involved at Fremantle, where basically a lot of staff and a lot of departments are put on notice to say, we are looking at everyone, unless you're contracted, of course. No one is safe." Further coaching news, Seven Media's Tom Brown has reported Carlton are chasing a big fish to fill the top role, with Alistair Clarkson, Ross Lyon and Paul Ruse all potentially on the radar. Although Ruse has been touted in a more of a mentoring role if Carlton were to appoint a less experienced coach. And with Clarko contracted to Hawthorn until end of 2022, it would have to be a very lucrative offer to bring him across to the Navy Blues. And in Carlton coaching news, Michael Voss was interviewed with Carlton last week, and Brad Scott could still be on the radar for an interview if he decides to continue his coaching career. And, of course, Mick Malthouse has reportedly put his hand up for another crack in the coaching
ranks. No way.
I need to get a clown, a circus sound grab on here for things like that.
Oh, for sure.
It's sounds like Mick Malthouse.
Gary's sitting over there nodding his head, so maybe he wants him back at
maybe
the prize.
Maybe the Benny Hill one. Sorry, Mick. See you later, pal. You had your time. Shut up.
And just a little bit of on-field player news. Coming towards the end of the year, players are starting to re-sign contracts, probably none bigger than Tom Mitchell extending with the Hawks until 2023. And again, we saw another touchy free kick awarded out of the ruck contest last night in the Richmond-Collingwood game, which has left players, commentators and fans flabbergasted, with Melbourne big man Maxi Gawn questioning whether his peers have got it all wrong. Clearly, he's frustrated with his words with umpires after last weekend. And finally, on a little bit of news, Eddie Betts has been omitted from the Crows lineup to play Carlton due to inconsistent form, according to coach Don Pike. And as much as we love Eddie, it's probably the one time we don't want to see him out in the park when Carlton take on the Crows. So
yeah, that's
he'll
true.
Bounce back, of course, but.
Yeah. Would have been good to see him out there. He's a much-loved player.
Oh, of course.
Well, I don't think they could have afforded to drop Betts and Tex. So,
no.
You know, Tex being the captain probably does have enough points in the bank for other things he does on the field with his leadership, although that's been in question over
stance.
The journeys. Yeah. The power stance. look, that was probably always on the cards this week. But yeah, let's hope he has an absolute blinder in the twos and comes back. And we don't like saying too many nice things about the Crows, but when it comes to Eddie, we still love him.
We love him.
We wish him all the best and the Betts family, if you're listening out there, which I'm sure you are out in Adelaide and South Australia and the Barossa, listening in to 91.3 Sport FM in Perth. So thanks very much for that, Craig. Great stuff, mate. We'll cross over to Yuri now, and we'll very quickly go through the upcoming Round 6 game predictions and give our expert tips. Go for it, Yuri.
Great, thank you. So starting first up between Hawthorn and Brisbane down in Tassie, and it's a big game, especially for, well, both sides, essentially. Hawthorn to keep track with the top eight and Brisbane to at least cement its spot in the top two with a win today. And you've got to go back to last year when Brisbane upset Hawthorn by 33 points. And really, essentially insane, not many teams win over in Tassie. It's due to the conditions there. The ball swirls around a lot. And also dimensions of the field in how Hawthorn played so well. Their kick-mark game, which definitely frustrates opposition teams down to the core. But I reckon, though, Brisbane will win, but won't be by much. I'd say 2 to 3 goals, at least, considering, well, their speed on midfield as well, too. I think Hawthorn lack a little bit of pace in that, so Brisbane for mine.
Lions for mine.
Oh, I think Hawks with an upset.
Yeah, I'm going to, because of the support from the Cerebral Assassin, I'm going to go for the Hawks too. I'm sitting on the fence a bit with this one, but great points about Tassie, and that's very, very true. And the Hawks actually run into a pretty good little patch of form under Kaiko. So Hawks. So I better be quiet, though, because I was just about to wrap him up saying he was too long on that first one.
Yes.
And here I go rattling
time
off.
Time management.
Yuri, let's fly through the next one.
That's cool. Okay, so big one, Carlton Adelaide today at the MCG. And for the Crows, well, if they can win today, they'll be two games ahead if Port Adelaide loses, of course, and Hawthorn as well to Brisbane. And for, well, the Blues, they've hit 4 of 6 under David Teague and have been playing some really, like, scintillating footy, quick ball movement, just think and go. Just know, like, oh, we make a mistake here and then, oh, we just go back into our shells. I think Teague's really backed in the players to play to their strengths, and that's the most important thing. And as a junior growing up, you're like, well, that's what your junior under-12s, under-13s, 14s, 15s coaches tell you.
Yep.
And I definitely think Teague has instilled the faith in the players and they've certainly rewarded him for it.
So who's going to win and by how much?
Okay, I think Crows by a couple of goals. Ooh. But it wouldn't surprise me if Carlton wins. But that depends on the conditions today.
Yep. Okay, Andy?
Blues for mine.
Yep, Blues for me.
Eyes wide open, got to say the Blues. Eagles versus Roos, quick prediction.
West Coast by 4 goals.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Eagles. Saints, Demons.
Saints by 3 goals.
Saints, for sure.
Oh, I'm going to go the D's on this one.
Ooh. I think the Rats has got the Saints on fire. Definitely the Saints. Power, Giants.
Giants.
I'm going to go Power.
Yeah, Giants for me.
Even though it's in Adelaide, I'm going to say Giants. Too much to play for. Doggies, Dockers.
Western Bulldogs.
Doggos.
Bullies only because I like watching the Dockers lose.
Frio in a, I say an upset, even though Dockers are currently sitting 11th and Doggies 12th, I'll say Frio in an upset at Marvel.
Swans Cats. I'd say Geelong. They need a win. ASAP.
Definitely the Pussies for me.
Yep, Cats. Swans won't have Buddy, so...
I think the Swans will play better because they still don't have Buddy. he's sore. Look, seriously, though, I think Swans an upset. Cats on a big downward curve, similar to the Pies at the moment. Injuries, old men and form, not good for the Cats. Swans in a big upset. Suns, Bombers.
Bombers by 8 goals.
Bombers.
Bombers.
Makes me sick. Bombers.
Me too.
Okay, so we got to get through the rest of this stuff fairly quickly. Injury updates, Andy?
Sure thing. So big and sad news. Charlie Curnow's been ruled out for the rest of the season because of bone bruising in his right knee. Initially, Charlie was able to handle the straight line running. He was prescribed his recovery from the medial ligament strain sustained against Frio in round 15, but the bone bruising is preventing him from doing much more than that. And instead of him playing in the last couple of rounds, we're allowing him to rest up with Doc Marchi and Willow for a massive 2020 preseason training regime. Liam Stocker made a successful return to VFL footy last week, amassing 15 disposals and a half of footy for the Northern Blues against Williamstown. To justify Sosa's draft day masterstroke, Stocker racked up 10 disposals in the opening quarter last Sunday. They will get another three quarters into him today, playing on the wing against the Kangas in the VFL, and hopefully he puts his hand up before the end of the year for an AFL call-up. Paddy Dow is having a run in the VFL after recovering from illness. Mitch McGovern continues to work through a training block in efforts of regaining fitness after an injury-interrupted season.
Still in the fat farm.
Hugh Goddard is another week away in his recovery from the cheekbone injury he sustained against Sydney in round 17. And in more exciting news for the club, David Cunningham looks set for a return to footy next week. As for today's ins and outs, Andrew Phillips gets an AFL call-up after an impressive run for the Northern Blues in place of Matty Cruiser, who is taking his spell. And good to see our man Chozza retaining his spot. I thought he was good last week.
Absolutely, the Chozza. I thought TDK might be a chance for a run this week, even though he's very young. He's been running into some sensational form, and I say sensational in that he's been doing some sensational things. Maybe the numbers don't stack up, but, geez, he's been showing all his athleticism and everything that a young ruckman does. I thought they might have given him a crack, but Phillips has been solid.
Sorry, I didn't know we had Bruce McAvaney in the station this morning. How many sensationals did you throw in then?
Any milestones?
Sorry, Andy,
there,
have you finished?
Delicious.
Craig? Have you finished, Andy?
All yours, Greg. Yeah. Go for it, mate.
Do you want me to run through the Blues news quickly?
Yeah, very quickly, because
okay.
Some people talk to them.
All right, really quickly, Carlton have announced officially the club has reached 64,000 members for the first time in its decorated history. The number comes off the back of Carlton faithful ranking fourth in the competition for home attendance, with an average of just shy of 49,000 blue baggers filling the stands each week. So exciting things both on and off the field with Carlton at the moment, so watch this space. And closer to home for our Perth listeners, the Legends of Carlton tribute dinner being held in Perth again on Saturday 17th of September at the Hyatt.
7th,
is it?
Yeah.
Sorry, 7th of September.
It will be next time.
With an exclusive lineup of Premiership Legends. This is your chance to dine in style and be up close for live and exclusive interviews with the likes of Wayne Johnson, David Parkin, Stephen Kernahan, Greg Williams, Anthony Koutafidis and Ange Christou. Check out the WA Carlton Supporters Group face page for more details on how to book. In milestone news, there is a few this week, but we'll keep it short. Tommy Hawkins plays 250. Basho Hawley played 200 last night. A few others there, but probably none bigger than GWS champ Heath Shaw playing his 300th game against Port tonight. The 33-year-old is out of contract at the end of the year, but won't decide his playing future until beyond 2019. Shaw is quoted as saying, "To be brutally honest, if we were to win the Premiership this year, I can honestly say you will never see me again because I'll be floating off and partying somewhere for at least a year." So good luck to Heath Shaw. And finally, tribunal news, Brisbane defender Harris Andrews has failed to overturn his one match for striking North Melbourne youngster Nick Larkey at the AFL tribunal on Tuesday. That's it for me.
No worries. Look, we have run out of time for this first segment. I hope you've all been enjoying out there listening in. We'll get to the Northern Blues review and the last week's game in the seniors review in the next segment. Before we go to a break, coming up after the break, we've got a man, as I said, we celebrate Wednesday just gone, that fantastic mark. For those who need their memory jog, just listen to this next 30 seconds.
And the ricochet is with Robinson. And where's Eddie? Walker's got the sit here. Everyone's up with that one.
Unbelievable. Oh,
just that has to be the best video, doesn't it, Tim?
The crowd is stunned. I reckon Essendon supporters are cheering this.
Oh! That's the best of the year by a mile.
That was very, very high into the black sky.
Tex.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lath Lane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to the program and, of course, to your best start to the footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. You're hosted by the WA Blues today, and with you presenting is myself, John, Craig, Andy and Yuri. WA Blue Baggers and listeners, it's time now to cross to a man who, on Wednesday, it was the 8th anniversary of a moment in time for Carlton supporters that we all loved, when he used Jake Carlisle as a stepladder, mistaking him for oh my God, I've lost my run sheet. I had a beauty for that. But anyway, so we'll move on. Anyway, in front of 78,000 people at the MCG, he took an absolute screamer. But look, for Carlton supporters, he'll be remembered for much more than that. And we welcome to the program for the first time, Andrew Walker. Tex, good morning and welcome to the Breakfast with the Blues.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, mate. Tex, in 2002-2003... Mate, the Blues were stripped of draft selections as part of the brutal penalties following the salary cap breaches. You were the only high draft pick we had in that time, a priority draft pick, number two overall in 2003, and you were given the famous number one Guernsey. In round five of 2004, you played what then was regarded by all footy pundits as the greatest debut ever, when you amassed 26 disposals, assisted three goals, flew for what may have well have been mark of the year if you held on to it. You earned a Rising Star Award nom, Won a Brownlow medal vote for that first game. Lucky Kane Corns wasn't around back then, by the way. Otherwise, he probably would have been crucified for all those efforts. But, mate, talk us through those early years at the Carlton Footy Club. It was pretty tough. So just give us a bit of an insight of the good, the bad and the ugly of those early days when you're at Carlton.
Yeah, no dramas. Yeah, thanks for that little introduction. And, yeah, it was... It seems like an eternity ago. It was, 2004. I go and talk to a couple of schools about, certain things to do with footy. And before I start talking, I just quickly ask them when they were born. And some come up with 2011 and 2010. And it just scares the hell out of you that you're getting old. But, it was pretty tough times, initially. Like, I walked into the footy club. We had really, really poor facilities at that stage, and I'd come from the Echuca Football Club, and to be quite honest, the facilities weren't that much better at Carlton at that stage compared to the Echuca rooms and everything like that. But it was super tough times, and I was fortunate enough to go at pick number two and get the famous number one Guernsey, which I'm always thankful for. I got a phone call off Stephen Silvani prior to my first game, and it was just a really special moment to get drafted to the Carlton Football Club, and I'm so thankful I got to spend 13 fantastic years at the footy club, and, they're all starting to head in the right direction now.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for those insights, mate. I'm going to throw you over to Craig for a question.
Yeah, Andrew, good morning. Mate, just... John's already mentioned it, but it would be remiss of us not to discuss the greatest mark in AFL history. Want to sort of get your... in your own words, your memories of that particular day. But more so, I'm interested, you're a bit of an aerial specialist. Those types of moments for you, is it a conscious decision when the ball's coming in, you think to yourself, hang on, I'm a chance for a big hang here, or is it more just a natural instinct, run a jump at the ball and what happens, happens sort of thing?
Yeah, it is one of my natural instincts. I always sort of pride myself on my aerial stuff as a footballer, and... I was just fortunate that day, to be quite honest. I knew, it's funny, when you start to play a lot of footy with certain guys, I knew Mitch Robinson over a bit of a period there had been crucified for kicking the ball short. And, I was running back into the 50, and I had the option to dart back up on Jakey Carlisle, but I just, in my own head, I'm going, righty-o, Mitchie, he would have thought about this a bit, and he's going to kick it long. So I just took off towards the goal square, and fortunately enough, Jakey Carlisle was a 201-centimetre sitting duck, so that was a perfect step out of form.
So there was no collusion between you and Robertson in the rooms before the game, so here, we're a bit of waxy, we could turn ourselves into some celebrities here? Or?
Well, post that mark, if you actually look at majority of the marks I've taken, my big ones, it's actually on the end of Mitch Robinson's kicks. Yeah. So... A few that year. There was definitely three that year that I went up for. Actually, I grabbed three off Mitchy Robinson's kicks. The match winner against St Kilda at Etihad was off Mitch Robinson's kick. So a lot of them, we did get a bit of a waxing thing going on, I guess, me and Mitchy. But I just start to understand the way Mitchy played.
Looking at that replay during the week, it was also the greatest sit of all time. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. Like,
be rubbing your hands. What a great moment. Yuri.
Morning, Andrew.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. I know you've had a lot of injuries throughout your career, and I remember most from 2008 and 2009. You only played a combined 13 games in total. That's correct?
Yeah.
And also in 2010, you broke your collarbone against Geelong back in round 5 and missed 4 weeks. And initially they said it was supposed to be round 6 to 8. So I know you played 200 games in your career, but considering those injuries sort of restricted your body and then in later years you continued to put your body on the line till the end, is that just a punctuation of Chuka resilience? And what kept you going through the pain and hard times of those injuries?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm actually player coach here at Echuca, and we've got a game today, and our mantra at the footy club is brutal bombers, and just attacking the game in a really ferocious manner, and that's how we tried to reshape, and that's how I remember the Echuca footy club, and I sort of pride in my, it's quite sick, I guess, but to come back from some major injuries, it became an illness because I always wanted to get back 2 or 3 weeks earlier because I wanted to get out there and play footy because I love the game so much. But to be quite honest, the collarbone one was an interesting one. I was having a fairly solid year. I was only three or four matches before that, but I was having a fairly solid year, and I felt like I'd started to really grasp that half-back role. So I did the collarbone, had surgery, came back probably too early, to be
honest. Yeah, I think
honest.
You came back in round 10 by memory against West Coast.
Yeah, yeah, and to be honest, it probably nearly cost me the rest of my career finishing at Carlton, because I came back early, and that's the year I nearly got traded off to Adelaide. So
yeah, was it Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs that you were on the trading block to, and then no sort of like agreement could come across that year?
Well, there was an agreement. There actually was an agreement done. I'd actually taken off to Bali for a family holiday just to sort of clear my head, because I'd had a pretty interesting year. I'd had some off-field discretions, which, if anything, actually shaped the rest of my career. I had that incident with the infamous booze cruise, and it was a pretty tough year for me. But it actually shaped the rest of my career, because in 2011 at the Blues, I was leading goal kick. I was in the leadership group. I finished top five BNF, and from there, I really put myself out there to become a leader at the footy club and turn things around. I didn't want to be known for that guy who, you know, I was a hard worker, and I had the talent, but I also had injuries, and those injuries were causing some off-field discretions. I didn't want to be that footballer. So I made sure that the last 6 years of my career were really focused in on being a leader to that footy club and being a mentor for younger footballers.
Before I cross over, Ian, I've got to say this is extremely disappointing for me. I really wanted to bring up the indiscretions, the off-field stuff, I'm looking at the photo of Andrew with his beautiful family at Optus and Icon Park, and I was like, nah, got to do the right thing, as we do with all our guests here. We're a Carlton show, and he's brought it up, and I could have whacked him all over the place today. I was reading all about it. No, we'll leave that aside, but thanks for bringing that up, Andrew. We like a bit of character in our footballers. Andy.
No, that's fine.
G'day, Tex. Andy Jonesy, how you doing?
Good, Andy. How are you, mate?
Well, thanks, mate. Tex, you were the first Indigenous footballer to play 200 games for Carlton, and in your time, your journey saw the nation's first people being recognised more prominently through the Sir Doug Nicholls round and other football community programs. What does it mean to you to hold that accolade, and what more do you think could be done to recognise Indigenous footballers in the AFL system and at the grassroots level?
Yeah, I think it's really heading in the right direction, and I was fortunate enough, you talk about those indiscretions. Like, I was a mentor to these young Indigenous boys coming through, and one of them being Eddie Betts, and he and I had a really good relationship, and I was a mentor for Eddie and one of his close mates. So I always sort of look back on that and saw us losing those three players, Chris Yaron through some really bad issues, Jeffy Garlett wanting to leave for some other issues, and also Eddie Betts taking off back home to Adelaide to be close to his dad. And I just sort of said to myself, like, we need to be doing something to keep these guys around the footy club. So I really took it upon myself to make sure that the Carlton football changed, Carlton football club changed, and for the better, and we really started to recognise and put some things in place that were going to keep these Indigenous boys at the footy club for longer. And I think the AFL's doing a fantastic job with it all now. It's not just a box ticker anymore. It's something that is being used to educate non-Indigenous people on our Indigenous culture, and it's being, we're now celebrating what the Indigenous culture has done for our game, and, there's so much X factor, there's so much those guys bring to the game. So it's been a really, really well-done product by the AFL over the last 3 or 4 years, and I did speak to the Carlton boys, and it became mandatory that all clubs watch the Adam Goods documentary, which was a fantastic initiative by the AFL.
Music to my ears, mate.
Great stuff.
Well, what that's done for me outside of AFL footy, I was Indigenous liaison officer at Carlton for a year post-playing, and what I've done now is I've taken it. I got back to the Echuca Footy Club. We've actually got our Indigenous Day today, so it's our Indigenous round today, and it's for a country match, it's I think we're going to end up with about 4,500 people at our game. I've been able to take an AFL product and really instill it into country people that these products need to be something that is a league-wide product for us to get closer to our Indigenous population and let them tell our stories and let non-Indigenous people ask questions that you know, are usually sensitive and want to know the answer to. So that's the whole point behind having NAIDOC round and having these Indigenous rounds.
Is that day just for the Echuca Club or the Golden Valley League for all the clubs today?
Yeah, so last year we launched it as the Echuca Football Club. It was really well received by the GV. Before the season, the league got in contact with me and it's now become a league-wide product, which is fantastic. We're doing it at a really high standard, and just hoping that in years to come, the GV teams follow suit.
Fantastic, mate. And look, going full circle now, we've talked about where it all began there at Echuca and at the Carlton Footy Club. You did go back in 2018 as player-coach. In the very powerful Goulburn Valley League and tough Goulburn Valley Football League. Mate, what are you up to now? You're still doing that. You've let us know about that now. But, you know, how's life, love, footy and everything with family and whatever going on for you there in the Echuca?
Yeah, it's been great, mate. It's been a really good move back. Our kids are now experiencing what I experienced growing up. We bought a little farm. I'm not going to be a farmer as such, but I just bought a little piece of slice of land on the river for our kids to really grow up the country way.
You got a good nickname for a farmer though, Tex.
Not bad, is it? we have a family-owned business here called Gravity Shack in Echuca, which is we build a big purpose-built factory with all the trampolines and cafe and everything in there, so my wife runs that, and I've taken on a role with our good friends at Icon Services. I'm creating and developing an Indigenous employment program for them at the minute, and just assisting them with developing their first reconciliation action plan and heading aboard there to get that off the ground at the start of 2020. So there's a fair bit happening in the background here with me, but really enjoying the mix of country life and also coming to Melbourne to help Georgie Tayan out with his business and creating something that's going to be pretty special.
Mate, we just about have to wrap it up there, but you know, we've learned a lot today. I mean, there are a lot of things there I wasn't expecting, and you continue to advocate after your football career. Like you said, you did that first year as the Indigenous liaison officer. You've gone back to your hometown and continue to advocate and do work in the community. So thanks for all of that, and the supporters would love to have heard that that's what's going on in your life. Thanks very much for your time today. Thanks for all the wonderful memories over the years at the Carlton Football Club that you gave us. 139 goals, wish there'd have been more, but plenty of speckies, and you always gave it on the line with that tough Echuca background, mate. So thanks for everything, and thanks for your time today. Go Blues.
No worries, guys. If you want to see a few more highlights, get to a GV game, come watch the Echuca Bombers. There's still a couple in the bag there. So.
Thanks,
no worries, mate. Thanks, you pay for the tickets, we'll be over.
Cheers, Tex.
See you, guys.
Thank you.
Tex Walker, everyone. What a fantastic guy. Great interview. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, with the family business at the Gravity Shack, if there's a cardboard cutout of Jake Carl on the having a bit of a crack at it.
Tex, that was just such a good interview. Such an honour and privilege. Stoked to talk
to him. How far he's come as well. From like his first year to now, and why he talked about the indiscretion in 2009, because I read a lot about it, and that, as he said, that was a low point in his life, you know, with the Christmas booze ban, him, Ryan Houlihan, Eddie Betts. I think it was sort of like a wake-up call for him. And what I remember most was they had that, like, really rigorous Christmas training program. They were just in the boxing gym, just absolutely flattening themselves out. It was absolutely to the max. And he literally just gassed him over.
Yep, it did. It was a tough time. We had our own little rat pack there. Ryan Houlihan was a real character, so they would have had a lot of fun, the boys. But these guys, they do come out of it with all these experiences. They come out the other side, and they're often better people for it. Andrew's a classic example of that, and we hope that that's a good example for everyone out there in society. Grow up, do the right thing, and have a good life and a good career, and be a good influence on your kids and everyone around you. So it is time to go for another break. We've missed our reviews again. We'll just do that with the hyphen when we get him on, the Carlton game. We'll try and sneak in the Northern Blues review for the listeners in our last 20 minutes. Guys, when we do come back, of course, it is time for the shirt front with David Rees-Jones, and we will see you back after the break. Go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back again, everyone. It's been a good show so far. We hope you're enjoying it. And you're listening, of course, to Breakfast with the Blues on 91.3 Sport FM, hosted by your WA Carlton Football Club Network supporter group, the WA Blues, presented today by myself, John, Craig, Andy and Yuri. At this time of the program, we delve deeper into the depths of the Blues' performance last week, review this week's game, lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, the Shirt Front. A very warm welcome, as always, goes out to our great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist and premiership hero, and no doubt a man who is enjoying the renaissance and emergence of this young, exciting crop of Blue Baggers in the back of the 2019 season, as much as any of us are. Hyphen, welcome, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, gee, you imagine going into a day thinking we could win three in a row, and we're a big chance this week too. So, yeah, onwards and upwards it is at the moment.
Indeed, indeed. The arousal levels are very high in the studio. That salivating thought, David. Mate, it's getting hard to drop players now, and after a four-quarter effort against the Swans, and even though we went to sleep a bit for a brief period in the third quarter last week, resolve and maturity were shown, and eventually we ran it out by four goals. So is this becoming an ideal foundation for us going into 2020? Bit of greater depth, harder to drop players, players having to really prove their mettle to get into the side.
Yeah, well, it's been, it really has been pretty lean in our Northern Blues team over the last few years. And there's been a lot of injuries as well, but when they're performing well as they have been this year, it means you've got the depth there, and that's what you need. You know, if you're going to play in finals and challenge to win premierships, you need the depth. And you know, we've seen Richmond be able to go pretty well this year, even though they've had a, you know, pretty horrendous run with injuries. And that's the depth of those young players coming through that's been able to, you know, maintain that. And we've got that now. We've got a very good list of players right through. So, you know, Cruiser out this week is the only out, but that's a big out for us too, because he really is the engine room in there and gets them fired up right from the start. So let's hope Phillips can, you know, embody a bit of that and take it out with him today.
Absolutely. Andy, what do you got, mate?
G'day, Hype. How you doing, mate?
Going good. All good.
Good stuff. At WA Blues events, the Empire Bar gives Carlton members a free drink each if the Blues manage to score over 100 points in a game. Personally, I wanted to see us put the foot on the throat and push towards an 8-goal victory. Now, despite the Blues being stranded on 99 points for half of the last quarter, the Empire coughed up and we all got free drinks.
The Empire coughed up, did they?
They did. Okay.
I'll tell you what, mate. I coughed up and the Treasurer is still brutal on me over it.
Jeez. Words from the super coach. My point is, do you think the signs are encouraging if we're able to play some average footy and still walk away with the 4 points?
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, and with young players, you're going to be up and down in games. From week to week, you're going to cop it. But even in games, they're going to have lapses in quarters, certain players. So, you know, it's good to see our leaders, you know, Ed Curnow's been fantastic since he's gone back through the middle, and Murphy as well. I mean, and they've really stood up and played good, consistent, you know, four-quarter footy over the last few weeks, and that shows the young blokes what they need to do. You know, Sam Austin's he's probably the exception to the cause, but you know, we've got a few injuries and things at the moment, so and we're winning games of footy, so it's looking very, very good.
Good morning, mate. It's Craig here. Now, John has asked us to keep this short, so this is going to be probably more of a comment than a question. But we know you like heading up to the Gold Coast with the family for a holiday, so I'm just thinking next time you're up there, can you drop into the Suns and maybe give young Ben King some lessons with his attempted strike on Lockie Plowman, only to miss and get his teammate Michael Riscatelli. So I think they're in need of a bit of a boxing coach, mate, if you've got some time on your hands.
I felt like battled a few of my teammates at times, but never actually got around to it. But, yeah, that was an interesting one, wasn't it? That was interesting, but if you're going to throw them, hit the right bloke.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on.
Morning, Hi, Fury here.
How are you? All good?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I've got a question about, since David Teague's taken over from round 12 against Brisbane, there seems to be a real emphasis on just quick ball movement and just play on at all costs without sort of overthinking, considering when under Bolton, they were sort of like, oh, we just go back into our shells, we make a mistake, and then we just like try and find the exact precise target instead of just going it down forward straight away and just not overthink it. Have you, in the games that you've seen thus far under Teague, six of them, has there been clear evidence that Teague's game style has suited the players more than what it did under Bolton in a way?
Look, I think Brendan, you know, Brendan as a teacher was trying to teach him the right way and the structures and the different way. Obviously, being at Hawthorn, he knows how to, you know, play successful football. I think when David Teague got the job, I mean, he had an open canvas. He could do what he wanted, and he's let the players just go and play football, if you know what I mean. It's just, do it on your own terms and you have, you've seen a couple of kids. Lockie O'Brien is probably one who's probably benefited from it and not having to worry about where to run or what to do. Just go and get the bloody footy and it's, you know, let your instincts take over. And I think that's been the one thing that we have seen since David Teague's taken over. But you still need that structural work, you know, to be able to stand teams when they do get a run on. So, you've got to get the balance right, but I think Teague's given them a fair bit of confidence to go and play their own game, and I think that's been the benefit of that.
Really glad you mentioned young Lockie O'Brien, because that's what he was drafted for, as a high round one pick, for his pace and his deadly left foot. And with that spread of young, fast midfielders and getting that core back into the midfield with Murphy, Cripper and Ed, allowing to free these guys up outside. It's giving him a little bit more space and time to show the world what he can do with all of that. So, yeah, good call there, Dave. And, mate, this week, today, we've got a big game against the Crows. Very, very gettable. They are, their confidence is low. They're looking to bounce back, and they really can't afford to lose this game against us for their supporters and for their season. I think it's a big danger game for them. How do you see it all panning out today, mate?
It is a massive game, and when you think about the swap of the trade for Stocker too, it becomes even more important, the wins and losses for Adelaide. We keep winning and they keep losing. It benefits us in the draft down the track, so it's got a little bit more of an added edge this week, but gee, dropping Eddie Betts, I was staggered by that because he's got a very good record of playing against Carlton too and kicking goals. And the coaches would have probably spent, hours working out of tactics to be able to negate Eddie over the course of the game. So him not playing is a bit of a bonus for us as well, and they're not in good form. So, I think our guys, if they can get on top early, they can't afford to give a lead away as they were doing a few weeks ago. But I think if we can get on top early, we can grind them and make life really hard for them. And I think we can win. I really think we can win this week.
I think we would be expected to win. Hyphen.
What's
we did talk about that.
Well,
earlier.
The bookies don't think so.
Bookies wouldn't have a bloody clue, would they? They got an agenda. We got an agenda. We did touch on this earlier with the Betts thing, right? So, it was expected that you couldn't keep Taylor Walker and Eddie Betts in the same side. And it was expected that they would probably drop Betts. But the real tough call for a football club would have been to drop their captain. Now, he's the captain of the club. He's the leader. He's the one probably been in the worst form of a lot of them and probably should have been dropped to make the example. I think it shows a bit of a weakness of their club at the moment. And I think it's a weakness that T can exploit with the players, with their momentum and everything else going into this game, and we could really put the foot on the throat with them. A bit of emotion in this one.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I mean, we don't want Tex Walker coming out and having a big game either. I mean, playing him back into form. So, and our back line's been terrific. I think Jones will probably get the job there, and he's been in terrific form. I thought he was best on ground by a mile last week, and really, really played well. So he's in good form, and we're going okay at the moment. So let's just hope that we can keep them in the form that they've been playing, and when we can stay in the same form we are. If you were to buy form at the moment, we should go in favourites into this game. But it's a massive game for them too. If they lose, that possibly a dropping out of the eight, and their finals run could be questioned.
Absolutely. Can't wait for today's game, mate. And
Thanks
very much, as always, for your time, Dave. We've got a fair bit on, so we're going to stick to our allotted 10 minutes today. But, go the Blues today. Thanks very much for your time, as always. It's been a ripper. And, let's hope we get over those Crows and take home the Stocker Cup.
No worries. Barricade, guys, and go Blues, as you say.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Hyfe.
Cheers, Hyfe. Thanks, mate.
Hyfe. I had to do that a little bit short because we got a fair bit on today. But, look, lots of good points there about today's game. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go straight into the Northern Blues review. We've sort of covered the game from last week a little bit with Hyfe, and we're running out of time. So, Andy, if we can go straight into the Northern Blues review, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure thing. After the thrilling win 2 weeks ago against Port Melbourne, the Northern Blues came up against an in-form Williamstown side last Sunday at Preston City Oval. In a scrappy contest between both teams, the Seagulls kicked a super inaccurate 8 goals 22 to defeat the Northern Blues, who kicked 7 goals 7. In the first quarter, Sam Fisher led the way in the middle, collecting 12 disposals, which helped Northern to finish the quarter strongly. A 7-minute rush from Northern saw it pile on 4 quick goals thanks to Lobe with 2, plus for Solo and Owies with singles. The second term began in similar fashion to the first, with both sides going back and forth between the arcs. After sitting out the first quarter, Liam Stocker made an instant impact in his return with 15 disposals and some fierce tackles in the first half, playing in the guts. The Blues trailed by only 7 points at the main break. After a slow start to the third quarter, the Blues played the patient game. The reward came through an Alex Fasolo assist to Jesse Palmer. Our rebounding off half back dominated the forward 50 entries, resulting in 10 scoring shots on goal, but inaccuracy had us failing to put a single goal on the scoreboard for the quarter. Kim LeBoyes and Cameron Paulson provided energy in attack before the Blues hit the lead through a goal to Finbar O'Dwyer. However, five straight behinds to finish the term saw the Seagulls take a narrow lead at the final change. Williamstown came out strong to start the final term, dominating possession with an attacking mindset and quick ball movement. Two early goals gave them some breathing space on the scoreboard. The Blues found it difficult to break through Williamstown's defensive zone, with its pressure leading to repeat entries. We were able to get a goal back late, but it was more than consolation as Williamstown ran away with a 21-point win. Goals, two to Lobie, singles to Fasolo, Fisher, O'Dwyer, Owies and Palmer. The best players were O'Rourke, Phillips, Anderson, Fasolo, Johnson and Paulson. Now, who is putting their hand up for an AFL selection? Well, we were talking about Tom DeConing before. Fasolo, Shoemaker and obviously Phillips, who gets his opportunity today. And that's all I've got for the Northern Blues review. Thanks, John.
Just quickly on that, Fasolo, he's been really running into some consistent 20-plus possession games and effective possessions for the Northern Blues. Northern Blues haven't been quite getting the wins on the boards, but they've been in all their games and the listed players have been performing. So I think when Faz came into the team earlier in the year, he wasn't quite ready.
Yeah.
He's gone back. He's really working hard.
It's a confidence thing, I feel.
I hope he gets another crack before the end of the year. People are bagging him out. People are already talking about, no, get him off the list and all of that. Nah, he's working hard. And
yeah.
He'll get another crack at the end of the year. We'll see how he goes. Could be important for us. Bit of confidence. Guys, before we wrap things up, our next event at the Empire will be for the game against the West Coast Eagles, round 20. It's a 1:20 p.m. bounce down live on the big screen there at the Empire on Sunday, the 4th of August. We've got the Sam Walsh signed jumper with AFL Certificate of Authenticity, custom framed, thanks to our good friends, Master Picture Framers and Allmark and Associates doing the engraving. So we're going to have that as a raffle item. So we want to get a couple of hundred blue baggers down at the Empire again, rocking the house, and let's see if we can knock over the reigning premiers in what should be an exciting game for us at Marvel. And look, at the end of the day, win, lose or draw, we just love getting everyone down to the Empire, enjoying the family atmosphere we have down there, food and drink specials, raffles and everything else we got going on. So that's about it for that. And also today, for anyone that wants to go down to the Empire, watch the Blues take on the Crows. It's the best place to watch footy on the big screen there. It's not an event game or anything like that, but we always get at least 20 or 30 people just rocking up there to watch the game. It is our home, so get on down to the Empire and support the venue and watch the game and enjoy yourselves. Guys, you got anything else for us before we wrap things up?
I'd love to beat the Eagles.
Mate, wouldn't that be a feather in the cap?
What?
And momentum, talk about momentum going into next season. Similarly to, you know, we keep comparing ourselves to Brisbane. Well, you know what? It really is following a very similar script.
Mm.
Getting that confidence and a bit of momentum towards the end of the year and then going into next year. So you just never know. Timing's everything. So that Eagles game is a big one. Not as big as today, though.
Nah.
The Stocker Cup.
And as we said before, the on and off stuff, you know, Teague saying during the week that the supporters are, you know, clearly with the membership base and all that, and the supporters are really getting behind the players and they can feel it out in the field. So, yeah, coming good towards the end of the season. It's going to be a good lead into next year. So,
absolutely.
Things are looking up.
And just another quick one before we wrap things up. You mentioned earlier, Craig, about the Champions of Carlton Tribute Dinner.
Which is the 7th of September, John, not the 17th.
That is the 7th of September. Well done. And proudly promoted by ProStar Entertainment, our good friend Adrian Aiello there, and we're helping him out. Promoting the event, we get nothing out of it, but we just want to get it out there to support him and get it out to all the Blues supporters, because I don't know many Blues supporters that wouldn't want a three-course dinner at the Hyatt
and meet Parko
with meeting Parko, Sticks, Wayne Johnston, the Dominator,
Dominator,
Cooter, Ange Christo, and who was the number six?
Diesel.
Diesel.
The great man.
I forgot to mention that with Hife on the phone earlier.
Yes.
look, it's great night. So get on the WA Blues Facebook page and look that one up. We've got it all over there at the moment. Get on down. It's a great night. Get a table of 10 together or come down there with your missus or your friend or your whatever. Get on down there. It's going to be a great night. Support it. You won't regret it. And great value for money for Blues supporters. Guys, we do have to wrap it up. It's been a great show. Andrew Walker, wasn't he fantastic, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. An honour, a privilege, an honour and privilege.
Absolutely. And Yuri, thanks for coming
Thank
in today.
Thank you.
What up, mate? Good debut.
Pleasure having you in the show today. Very cerebral, just like our good man Craig Beck over here. It was a little bit hard for me to understand and follow, but apparently everyone really enjoyed it.
And commiserations to Gary, of course. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Absolutely brutal. Our producer, Gary Wright, in the studio again, as always. Our loyal Collingwood supporter. But thanks, Gary, for coming in. And we love having you in the studio and looking after me especially. So, guys, have a great day. Hope you enjoy watching the show. It will be a show when we beat Adelaide by over 40 points. Ooh. We hope you enjoyed the show today, listening to Breakfast with the Blues. We look forward to coming back here next week. And as we always say, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go you baggers. And they will know that.